everybody. Welcome to Kush and Kai. I'm Kai.
I'm Kush. What's good, y'all?
Oh, you know what it is? Sometimes you just need better luck tomorrow. From 2003, we watched Justin Lin's, Jeremy Lin's, Jesus Christ, bad foot to get off on here.
Justin Lin's original directorial debut.
Directorial debut. Fantastic. Alternate title, Asians Behaving Badly. Yeah, a movie with
crazy teenage Asians.
A movie with heart but no soul.
Oh yeah.
Goodness, had you seen this movie before?
I saw this in the theater the weekend it was released. I was still of that MTV age where, you know, like they were just pounding this at you like every day, like, check this out, check out this indie movie they did. We got Justin Lin. You've never seen him before, but he's going to be doing exciting shit. This is an all Asian cast. You've never seen anything like this before. And I was like, well, actually, I see this pretty regularly in San Francisco, but I'm excited.
You're surrounded by it. Everyone else, though, be in awe.
I could identify several characters. Sung Kang, my man, Han Solo. From Fast and the Furious, this is...
Yeah!
He reminds me of a dude I used to have wood shop with named Fujon.
Fantastic.
Fujon was about as gangster as it would get at 15 for a young Asian scrapper. And I would not cross him whatsoever.
There were some... Yeah, I mean, growing up with the even for these guys, they come across other thuggier Asians in the movie. Do you remember that?
Yes. I thought those were essays, but yes.
Yeah. No, I think they were. They may have been
Cambodians.
Something like that. Whole range of Asians here. They don't really get into like, oh, who from where, whatever. Like, they don't deal on that currency, which is good for any movie that's just sort of like, yeah, they're Asian. They're just doing their thing. They don't define, like, you know, where the motherland is. And then also, too, I have to note, all of the parents in this movie were replaced by cigarettes.
Yes. Yeah, that was the thing that bothered me even back then. There is not one goddamn parental figure in this movie. Like, at no point, you know, I'm not asking for anyone to, like, scold anybody or, like, try, like, oh, this is, Virgil used to get beat ridiculously every day. No, just someone come in like, hey, Ben, you look like you've been doing a lot of cocaine. Like,
yeah, even a scene.
How are you doing, son?
Even a scene where they have to lie. You know what I mean? Just to be like, no, there's no drug money, you know, or something. That wasn't a gunshot.
Yeah, and there's a throwaway line in it where they're just like, as long as we kept our grades up, our parents left us alone. And I'm like, even in 2003, I was just like, nah, they're going to check in on you.
Parents. Well, because the other side of that, too, is I do remember there were bunches of kids that it was like being bribed with money for A's or cars if you kept up your GPA, or you know what I mean, like you could go to this school or that, but it was always the carrot, but they were the stick. They were always laying it on really thick. I remember, and I'm sure obviously, yes, there are people like, I mean, again, Han apparently lived on his own. His parents lived in another another country. But even in that scenario, it's like there's literally everybody else that, you know, you're just with your parents. But it was a choice to support we're kind of building our own world here. And I have to say, 03, the first thing that we get back in on was like, oh, the pagers, look at that.
Yes. Motorola pagers. And they actually had the side view ones, like you'd actually pull the fucking thing out of your pocket. I had the traditional generic one where you could still look at your hip, read the number upside down, and go, oh, yeah, that hoe. I know her. Okay.
I don't think I ever – my sister had a pager, but then
– I think pager culture was dying down by the time you got to high school. Like people
on
the cell phones, but pager culture, huge in my high school years of 1993 to 1997.
Absolutely. Yeah, 97. And so I was supposed to graduate in 01, but by that time I had a rudimentary cell phone that I got at, what was that? Was it a Singular store? Anyway, but I remember they had a giant, it was like season one of whenever American Idol debuted. And like there was a big co-promotion that I got my phone then.
In 2001, that's also the year of Boost Mobile. And where are you at? And
the little, oh, geez, yeah.
Like, oh, so your cell phone's just a walkie-talkie? I don't know about that.
Yeah. That was weird. Yeah, that people, they were trying to make that happen. It did not happen.
Yeah.
And then do you remember Do you remember the craze of phone companies that wanted to get you to use their collect service?
I was dialing down the other day.
Dialing down the center used to be like a part of my life. Like it would be every third commercial was the wars of this.
1-800-COLLECT had a great series of commercials, some with Mr. T.
Yes.
I think Jamie Kennedy got in some, David Arquette for a minute.
Corolla was on. I think he appeared with French Stewart in the ATT version.
Wow.
Yeah, that's some history there. Oh, good stuff. Anyway, so yeah, they do a good job of, other than sort of the technology that's around, mm-hmm. I think this movie does a pretty good job of not age stamping it to a lot of maybe media or other kind of trends going on. Because it does have some timeless qualities where it's like, just out, you know, they're miniature golf, they're talking about girls, they're, you know what I mean? They're like talking about college. Mm-hmm. So that's done well. And they immediately jump us into this movie with just like the edit on this movie, such care was taken. There's great little montages and scene put togethers and photo collages to like kind of speed up the storytelling. And then even like the use of different speeds through things to kind of change up like what you're focusing on. Really well done. Like a really, really well directed movie, I have to say.
Yeah, and that's why it was very exciting when you saw the potential of Justin Lin. You're like, what is this guy going to do after this movie? Looking back on this, this is a very freshman movie, for lack of a better phrase. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff in it for its time, but there are things that could be done much better.
I think my biggest thing to speak to, like, well, I, you know, it was a good attempt here, was just the overall arc. And with the, like, the title of the movie kind of parrots it, where it's like the statement being made isn't just, hey, we can get away with stuff. It's sort of like, well, why did we do this? Why did any of this happen? And it built up some steam, and then it sort of like putters to a depressing stop. Like, this is a bummer. And even then, sort of the main character, like, he's kind of like, yeah, you know, we did some shit. Anyway, and it's just, he's kind of learning from his mistakes, but it's nebulous in that way. And I mean, not all movies have to have like a statement or here's the thing, but this was in great lack of something in that tenor. Should we jump in here? We've been chatting about this for a bit.
I think we gave a nice frame for it. So yeah, let's work on the interior here. We start off with our two main characters, Virgil and Ben. Again, everyone here is Asian. They don't really get into who is what Asian, but Ben's Filipino. His last name is Manibag. And Virgil Hugh. They're hanging out. Someone's pager goes off. And it's neither of the boys on the screen. And then they look forward towards the camera. And there's a dead body buried in the backyard.
Yeah, a mystery. And we're treated to a thing that we don't get a ton, which is we get a freeze frame narration. And then we do a flashback. Like, you're probably wondering. But they throw it back 4 months. And Ben is just trying to get ready to take his SATs. He's what, junior year here?
I want to say that I believe he's a senior, but he's younger than the average senior. Like, he's gotcha. Skipped a grade or two.
So everybody's smart, and the first half of the movie is currency in extracurriculars for your college application. Be it in clubs or volunteering or him making the basketball team, had a big
busy, busy dude.
He's a busy boy. And he does make the basketball team, but as soon as he's on, Derek, the editor from the paper, comes over to do a story on the token team Asian. and he's such a dick about it too. He's like, yeah, but you don't play because you're an Asian and they're just sort of here because of your race. And he's like, well, no, I worked really hard. He goes, yeah, we know, but you're the token guy, right? And so
let me get some wides, and they get a couple close-ups here. And the little Japanese kid.
And so he writes this story, which he even admits is disingenuous because he said he talked to the coach, but the coach didn't tell him. Like, the coach's answers didn't really jive with the story he was trying to push, that Ben's not getting playing time because he's Asian. And so students take up the cause to, like, rally at, like, protest at games that Ben be put in. And the coach is fucking annoyed by it, so he does. And then Ben drops out of Ben drops off the basketball team, which is a bummer. Also, quick note, it was confusing because the colors orange and blue are up everywhere in the school. There are some people wearing orange and blue, like, shirt stuff. But then the basketball team's colors are green and yellow.
So Justin Lin mentions that in the director's commentary, and he's like, yeah, we fucked up on that one.
Oh, good. Oh, it was addressed. Okay. I was like, this is weird. And they couldn't be any further. Those two sets couldn't be any further, like, jarringly apart.
I forget what the reason is why they couldn't get the actual school's team colors, but that's Justin Lin's high school.
Good stuff.
They let him on the premises and gave him pretty much full reign for the movie.
There you go. That's great. Great story detail there. Ben also randomly gets paired up with his big crush, Stephanie, in bio class.
Stephanie Vandergosh. Stephanie Vandergosh. She sounds. She's adopted by two Caucasians. Who, again, we never see.
Not a once. We see, like, her younger brother for a moment. When he goes over to her house at night, it's the younger brother, I think, that opens the door. And I was like, who's this child? and she's, like, annoyed at him because he tried to do their homework for them.
Yes.
And I guess she took it as, like, you don't think I'm smart? But he was just trying to be, you know... He just goes headlong into the friend zone. He's, like, shoulder deep in friend zone in the first, like, 6 minutes of this movie. And they're working on a paper on cellular mitosis, and she gets a call from her boyfriend, the handsome John Cho, and she's, like, upset about something, but is glad that he's there, and it's kind of weird, but great, yeah, great sort of awkward, like, we're friends, but we're just doing a paper, but then I like you. Great. Well played on just a teen angsty, with the girl that you like. Good stuff.
John Cho, this is post American Pie, pre Harold and Kumar, for those keeping count, by the way. And, going back to the director's commentary, the 3 days that they would have, John Cho on set would be the hardest days of this shoot because everyone would be going, MILF.
Oh, good stuff. Derek gets involved with Ben and Virgil by offering Ben $50 to create some cheat sheets. This is a little...
It's only $50? Wow.
Yeah, but I am a little confused as to how they're being employed, but it's like, no, it's just some sort of cheating scam or whatever. And they like running scams. Earlier we see with Han, they're running a credit card swap scam where they go buy a bunch of computer stuff, go back into the store with the receipt, grab the same things and put purchased stickers on them and return those, thereby keeping the items and getting the credit back.
Genius move, by the way, that you cannot employ anymore because this movie made all Best Buys and Targets hip to that.
Aware of that scam. So good public service done by this movie. I'm sure a few people tried it and went to jail.
Many went to jail.
And also Perry Shin, who plays Ben, he's been on General Hospital for a few years, and he plays, this is great, my wife told me this, he plays a naughty gay nurse.
Yeah, he does.
That's fantastic. So many folks went on to do cool things out of this project. Great academic decathlon scene that Derek is officiating with the bell. Some good goofy montage action in there. Then on to the other club. They have a bunch of club related things that he's trying to make and be in. Were you in any clubs or teams in school?
Yes and no. I was mainly known to be in ROTC. However, there's a yearbook photo where I was on the law club.
Hey!
I was in that club for a week. We took the group photo, and then I just, whatever reason, didn't come back, but they still published me with the photo. Yeah, that happened. So
there you go.
ROTC was my thing back in the day.
There you go. I was on speech and debate for a season. I remember debating. It was like, should being on your cell phone in a car be illegal? And I had to argue like, no, not at all. And I think the other person was like, really? This many people have died already. Are you okay with that blood on your hands? And I was like, look, nobody's tracking how many people die because they're eating a burrito, or you can eat a hot bowl of soup. Like, I can eat a whole bowl of soup, but I can't use my phone. That is a restriction of freedoms. And I think I was declared the loser in that one. But still.
Well, the debate club is always great because you just have to have a loser, unfortunately. But what's great is you may totally not agree with wanting a cell phone in a car even back then, but you had to debate why you needed a cell phone in your car.
Exactly.
And that's the purpose of a debate club, is teaching you how to form arguments.
Indeed. That, and I founded our high school's ultimate frisbee team, the Dragons. Virgil swears that that Ben's crush Stephanie was in a porn. She is a cheerleader, and he does find a porn with a girl that looks kind of like her, but still
like her. I'm honestly surprised that she's not credited on IMDb as Stephanie Vandergosh and porn chick.
We won't dwell on people in your life that happen to have porn lookalikes. It's a gift, everybody. It is. It's a gift. Anyway, so we see the darker side again of Derek, where he holds all the academic decathlon practices at his house. And so he makes them all do shots during practice, which as a method for study, like, I don't know, that's the best way to go about it. But
I think they, everyone study parties, but that never happened.
Yeah, I don't remember that happening.
It would be way more entertaining, but no, it absolutely defies the point of studying for what it is we're studying.
Totally. And people are getting sick. Even Ben imbibes too much, and back at home, there's a scene of clever shot of him throwing up, and you could see his, like, you know, knees and shoulders hunched over the toilet. But where his head is, there's a portrait of him when he's younger, like a great, like, what happened to you? kind of inference there, like, great, just fantastic little things. They took care in the construction of these things. However, it did tail into just parties and then school and then parties and a blur. And yeah, let's see, they throw a lot of things at each other. I've noticed too, lots of throwing of things.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's definitely a lot of improv in this, and then that also explains why there's a lot of up your butt references and a lot of homophobic jokes or homoerotic jokes, depending on your take. Yeah, there was times when Justin Lin just let people improvise, and again, these were 17-year-old high school kids. They don't know any better. That was the easiest thing to go to.
And so we already knew that Virgil was trouble. We all know. We've all got this guy in the group. Hopefully you've excised him so far. But at a party, there's somebody from the football team that's making fun of the Asians. I didn't quite get a handle on what he was saying. But then he calls out Derek for having a fake vest for playing tennis, a fake Letterman jacket. Hmm. And so Derek elbows past him, or shoulders past him, and then a brief fist fight ensues. Then Derek pulls a Gant, so he ups it to the next level. And then fucking Virgil, like, I'll just remember, he comes tearing in from, like, the next county going, shoot him in the face! Shoot him in the face! And you're like, dude.
And Virgil is all about the 187. Like, he is emotionally unstable at best.
He's probably, yeah, if you know these people, you can't go out drinking with these people. this is how you lead hospitals and prison cells, like trouble. So Virgil starts kicking him. Ben joins in and starts kicking the guy on the ground.
He gets peer pressured into doing, but yes, he still participates in it.
He does. He gets triggered. Ben gets triggered. He just gets into things. And then the next day, Ben, there's a scene where he's like, I thought they were going to come get us, come arrest us. They were waiting for the cops. But there's a thing where a cop is like in the hallway and kind of drifts toward the door, but then doesn't. This just goes somewhere else. It was like, nothing happened.
That was just your random ass wacky hallway monitor.
Yeah, with the badge that is not a badge. It's a security guard kind of looking thing. And then they had the same badge for the cop in the shoulder badge. Same one for the cop in like Vegas, which was weird. That same logo was like, it's not a badge, so I don't know what that is. Well, anyway,
a movie that was made for $250,000. So
pretty good on that scale. Anyway, so now they've got rep. People are afraid of them. And so they detail how their empire starts growing. They start hitting bigger targets. And obviously they get into coke, which...
Obviously.
Obviously they get into coke. And then like doing it with the academic decathlon team. And Ben does so much coke that his fish die. That's a problem. That's how you know you did a ton of coke. Your fish are dead.
Did the fish die because he was doing coke? Was he feeding the fish coke, or did they just die because they were goldfish?
All three are in play. Okay. Because they do a good job at, like, the scene in the batting cages highlights this the most, how he's just out of it, where Steve is talking, and then he's not talking, and then he's narrating what he's doing, and kind of things are going in and out of focus, and Ben's, like, kind of grinning, like, what?
Gotcha.
But this is when he wakes up and he's bleeding out of his nose, and he says, he's bleeding out of his nose, and then he says, this is my 17th birthday.
Yeah.
So that's a bummer. Ben and Derek quit the next day. Quit the gang. What were they?
They aren't officially anything. He was just like
a club. Yeah. I said they were a club.
Well, he's just like, I'm out, and he's only out of I'm out of doing bad shit. Let's
see. Yeah,
I can't steal, I can't do any more cocaine, and Han's like, yeah, stop doing cocaine, dum-dum. But he goes right back into his studies, but he still has to interact with all these assholes, and it's a problem.
Yeah, it's distracting to say the least. And the guys get him such a sweet gift. They all chipped in and got him. What do they get him? A gat. And then Virgil evidently has one identical to it. And so what is the first thing he do? He takes it out and he flips it in the air and everyone goes running.
As they should.
Yeah. Because again, he's dangerous by himself. Like, why does he have a gun?
Yes.
That's bad. The dating, there's a little like kind of hanging out, dating-y sort of. Ben and Stephanie are kind of going out. They go to a record store. I mean, it's CDs, but still, you're like, hey, look at that.
Yeah. That's something that doesn't happen anymore these days, right?
Not a thing. And she steals something for him, I think.
Yes, she does.
Songs to hump to. Very fantastic.
Yeah. There's a scene where he's eating a cookie in a clothing store, one of the workers there, very polite, is like, hey man, we don't allow people to eat food in the clothing store because clothes. And Ben gives a smart ass answer, but also very politely, but he's like, well, I'm diabetic and
hypoglycemic, so I'm just crashing right now, just a couple more bites,
and it works.
It does.
That was a time when you could do that, and I guess everyone is doing that now, so congratulations, you're all assholes.
They're liars, and they have no, this kind of morally ambiguous world that they live in with no parents. The Peanuts, the parents there, you know, Charlie Brown's parent, like they have more parenting influence via the horn noise than these people.
That.
Exactly. Yeah, I just, somebody's like, come on, I'm gonna go out. Han gets busted for cheat sheets, and he doesn't really care, but he beats up Virgil for it.
Well, he gets suspended because Virgil is telling everybody that they were distributing cheat sheets, and so it was like literally like a matter of hours before they were caught. And again, Han is only suspended, not expelled.
Mm-hmm.
But he still loves beating the shit out of Virgil.
And Ben is again shoulder deep in the friend zone because John Cho orders him basically to go with Stephanie because he doesn't want to go, or he's also seen with another girl at some point. Maybe he's going to her winter formal. I don't know.
Is John Cho a college student? I keep getting that. It's confusing. Like, is he in college right now, or is he also
in high school? No, because remember he says like, one of the Ivy Leagues. I don't know where.
Okay.
And then he's on the rich kids team that they face partway through the movie. And he has his arm around a blonde chick at one point. So he takes Stephanie to the winter formal. They look adorable and awkward together. And what was that? There's a great slow song that I don't think I've heard before. It had Butterfly in the title. That was a fantastic song. Hmm. Well put together scene. And then they continue to slow dance even after it goes to like kind of this rapid EDM techno-y kind of thing.
It was still called techno back in 2003.
Still called techno. Yeah, still safely called techno. Now it's sub, just now like everything. EDM. Yeah, it's sub-identify. Everything's too specific now. So they go to Vegas, academic decathlon championships in Vegas. And I don't know how they're in there drinking and smoking and gambling. And they're all like 17, I think.
I don't recall any gambling. If they're doing any gambling, that's just in the hotel room. But
they're at a blackjack table.
Okay,
like tossing chips, and you know what I mean. And then there's a scene where they briefly get the cop, like Ben and Virgil, are like fishing through their wallets, like handing them different forms of identification that aren't working, I guess. But anyway, that aside. They get Ben a prostitute in Vegas.
Well, they get the whole group of prostitutes.
The whole crew. But they let him go first. Yeah. They let him go first because they're gentlemen. Which is a good position. Can I take first on the group? Yeah. Awesome. And the Virgil's up, then Derek, and then it's Ben and then Derek and then Virgil. Upsets the prostitute by pulling a gun that he has tucked into his tidy whities.
Yeah.
And she storms out, and Han just, he's like, this is more than we owe you. Sorry, he's a dick. But they win the decathlon title. They won. Yay. More fodder for the college app.
The day after I lost my virginity, we won the winter decathlon.
Exactly.
That's how that goes.
And they had the trophy, the picture. There is a weird scene earlier where Virgil wins some kind of award for selling candy bars or something, and then he wins the CD player. Drive. Yeah. Oh, the canned food drive.
Yeah.
And then Ben drops the CD player and he's pissed. That was another weird, like, what is this scene about?
Oh.
Anyway, Steve has a proposition for the crew, and John Cho. This is a weird turn. Especially because there were no parents in the movie. He wants to get revenge on his parents, or wake them up, so to speak.
I gotta teach them a lesson.
Which was a weird proposition. And he lives, it's supposed to be, is it Malibu? It's a nice house on the coast.
He is living very well to the point where he should just be shutting the fuck up and not worrying about them. Like.
And another great detail, he has laminated versions. Like he printed them up at the Kinko's.
Yeah.
He has the blueprints together, and they're walking through the plan about how the gang is going to rob his parents' house to, again, send them a wake-up call. Anyway.
Well, that wake-up call is we're never given this uptight, over-the-top monologue, like, they should stop voting for Republicans or blah, 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 9/11.
Something. Anything. Just give us anything.
I just want to wake them up.
Like, didn't make any sense. I don't understand why we're doing this. And then the second detail, which is like even more like, really? Is Derek goes like, we should teach him a lesson. It was like, why waste our time? Do you know what I mean? Like, couldn't they have done that?
Made more sense.
Couldn't they have done that on the first meeting? Do you know what I mean? they treated it like homework, where they're like doing through the steps, they're hanging out, they're making these plans. And people, it was like, just beat him up then. Like, what? I don't get it. So of course, whenever in a movie, TV, whenever you're going to teach somebody a lesson, We all know that always works out perfectly.
100% perfect.
And just like that, in this movie, oh, wait, no, it doesn't. So on the fifth That's meeting or whatever, after they've gone through all the walkthroughs, they pay, was it Jose? Juan? Someone? They got a buddy. There's a fence. And so they're like, okay, you can beat him up in my garage for $100. And so John Cho gets there, or Steve, and Ben doesn't want to be part of it, but so he says he'll just be watch out. So he's outside. And inside, there's a struggle. There's, you know, they're kind of punching him down, and Virgil, like, trips and drops his gun. There's, like, a Han cat grabs the gun, tries to get it away from Steve, and then the light's swinging and gets knocked out, and we hear a gunshot. And so back outside, Ben hears the gunshot, and they go, he goes back inside, and they're still struggling for the gun, and then, you know, Ben knocks it away. He's like, stop. And then just for some reason, the look in John Cho's eyes, like, rubs Ben the wrong way. Like, he's having a flashback about Stephanie or something. Is it jealousy? I'm not exactly sure. So he starts just beating John Cho, Steve, in the face with the baseball bat until blood starts bursting out. And they think he's dead.
They think that director's commentary, that scene actually went way longer, meaning that he got way more than five whacks in, and at whatever film festival they screened it at, they was like, that's a little much. Let's just trim it back to like five, and
yeah,
that was the perfect number.
And so, again, Jose the businessman, it goes from like, yeah, you can rough up a dude in the garage, to like, can we bury a body in your yard? And he goes, no. And then he goes, we'll give you $300. Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, $300 to dispose of a body.
And a chilling detail, they don't have enough cash on them, so they reach into John Cho's dead corpse's pocket to
He's
take
not even
money.
Dead yet.
No, dead they yet. Find that out next to the most harrowing scene where Derek like puts what soaks cotton swabs with
soaks like
alcohol.
A do-rag with lighter fluid,
and then stuffs it in John Cho's mouth, and then is holding his nose closed, and he's making Virgil hold him hold John Cho still, and he's like, he's trying to calm Virgil down, who's freaking out, and the camera is just doing this whip around of them. It keeps just circling around them, and you can see Virgil's like crying, like a traumatic scene.
It's a great scene, and they do like about 12 rotations on that.
And great just death acting from John Cho of like, there's rattles, and then he kind of dies down, and there's like the last gasp, and he twitches, like, oh god, it's so detail real. You're like, oh my god. That leads to a very awkward New Year's party where Stephanie's pissed that Steve just disappeared. And yeah, Ben's like, yeah, I don't know.
That's Steve for you. Yeah. Jinx, how you cope.
And then it's just like, yeah, happy New Year's. just terrible. And they almost kiss at New Year's, but it's awkward and they don't want to do it. Understandably, it's weird for Ben. Steph understands though, because she's like, yeah, no, I gotta talk to Steve first. Like, yeah, totally, you do that. And then we're treated to a few short scenes, but then Han showing up at Virgil's house, and then we just hear a lone gunshot, and Virgil put a gun to his head and pulled the trigger. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I don't know, survives.
Unfortunately. Suicide.
That is a bummer. And then they're in the hospital, and Derek's freaking out that what if Virgil wakes up? What if he tells somebody? Is Han going to tell somebody? All very unfortunate. And then we're down to... There's a great elevator closing shot of Ben leaving, and it closes to Derek saying, oh, I'll call you later. But it's just a hopefully to be like a finality of like, all right, you're right. Well, I'm out of this. I can't do this anymore. And so the last scene, Ben again practicing his free throws. His form looks weird, by the way, for somebody that practices that much, supposedly.
The actor actually has zero basketball experience by the time he gets to this movie. So
yeah, a little odd. Stephanie picks him up while he's walking home, and she's an Audi convertible. That's nice. And she says she's pissed. Yeah, she's pissed at Steve for just disappearing, and she kisses Ben. And he's into it, but you're like, ah, dude, that's something.
And the movie pretty much ends on a narrative with Ben just going, I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know where my life's going to take me. And he's pretty much officially, unofficially on the run.
Yeah, I guess.
Like that body is going to eventually turn up, but he doesn't. We don't know that he gets away with anything, but it's yeah. He rides off into the sunset.
Yeah, so there you go. It got a little muddled there for me at the end. But you could just feel just the care that went in. I loved all the montages. And great, yeah, I mean, it really came, the letting them improv it out. Some of those scenes really felt just the flavor of, oh, these are just douchebags hanging out. Like, it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The authenticity off the charts on that side. What are your thoughts here? Any closing thoughts, things? What are you doing?
I like this movie. It doesn't age well for me. Also, I'm just old man Cush Hayes now. So I'm just like, you stupid teenagers, why are you doing this? That's me. Movie cost $250,000 to produce. Worldwide domestic gross for 2003, $3.8 million.
Hey! The
foreign tracking is $6,800 in South Africa.
Fantastic!
It would register 167 on the total of the year, right in between MTV's, again, The Real Cancun, and The Secret Lives of Dentists, whatever that is. Eight spots down from Justin to Kelly.
Well, fantastic. that did some work. Good stuff. It definitely was a good credit to Justin Lin's career. He would go on and do Fast and Furious things.
Yeah, he goes on to do the next four Fast and Furious movies after this, and then ends up doing Star Trek Beyond, which is the better of the three J.J. Abrams treks. And then he's a... He's the executive producer of CBS's Scorpion. So he's like the highest paid Asian producer in America right now. Like Scorpion's fantastic. Killing it. He's also got his claws in the new Magnum PI remake, the SWAT remake, and then something called Warrior. He'll be producing Space Jam 2 if that ever sees the light of day, and is going to be the EP on this round of the Highlander remake should that ever actually be made.
Well, there you go. Jeez. All right. Fantastic. Well, well deserved there. I enjoyed this movie. I don't know on a rating I would give it, but good to watch. Even if just for, it was like, hey, look at all these folks. look where they came from.
Yeah.
Glad on that side. Boy. Yeah. Any other closing thoughts? We covered it.
If you like the Fast and the Furious movies, check this out so you can see where Justin Lin came from. You'll see the unofficial prequel to Han's story. Yes, he was a little thug in Southern California before he would go on and go to Tokyo and have that be his Mexico. Otherwise, yeah, that's it. Better Luck Tomorrow. I always feel like the name was a play on some John Woo movie, but I can never get that straight.
Yeah, it definitely has that feel there. And then they drop a Chow Yun-Fat reference in there as well.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know all the spots. Kush and Kai, Kush and Kai, Kush and Kai. I am Kush. This would be... And yeah, but that's all I got.
Good stuff. Hey, I mean, as long as we're here, something from the folder, news folder from earlier, and we did a micro before this, which is unconnected, but this is a timeless one here. Jeff Bezos and wife filing for divorce. Ooh. He's what worth north of $140 billion. And man, they've been together for a while. Like, that's going to be, there's no prenup there.
Even at 1% of his empire, she would come off just ridiculously wealthy.
That but is
going to get half of it. So
that is incredible.
As Adam Carolla would say, never be rich.
Wow. Never be rich. Good advice there. That's got to be, I don't even particularly like Jeff Bezos, but just like, oh, dude, that sucks. I'm sorry. Sorry it didn't work out for you. Hope you can make the best of it. That's been
His next 19-year-old wife will be just fine.
It'll work out. It'll work itself out. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Come back again soon. Like and review. Send us some hate mail. I dare you. Or anything else. But that's it for Krish and Kai. Rock on, Krish.
Rock on, Kai. Bosley.net.
Sit, Bosley, sit.
His next 19-year-old wife will be just fine.